Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Chav Hei. We begin on the very last two lines of Chav Dalet Amud Beis with the Mishnah. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Tzal. They should bring back the Chatufim. They should all be healthy. All the soldiers that Nebuch have been hurt, they should have a refuah shlema. And Nebuch, I just heard the very sad news that Captain Daniel Perez, who was Rabbi Dom Perez, Shlita's son, who had Nebuch been captured on the very first day of October 7th. So Nebuch has been declared dead. Hashem Yimkom Damo, and may the family find comfort. Okay, on that sad note, we pray for peace for all of Klal Yisrael and the Chama for all of Klal Yisrael. We begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Ve'elu chayovim lahachriz, the following things, if somebody finds them, he has an obligation to go and be machriz, to announce them, and make sure that the appropriate owner can hopefully reclaim his object. So matzo peros bechli, if you found fruits inside a kli. Rashi points out, we had this Rashi the other day, we mentioned this, ustam kli yesh bo simen. So even though the fruits themselves may not have a simen on them, but the basket, the container, the utensil that they're in, is by definition going to have a siman on it, and therefore if the person finds such a kli with fruits inside of it, he has to announce it because the owner will hopefully be able to provide the siman and get his object back. Or, if you just have the kli itself, o kli kamoshahu, Rashi explains, the kli is empty, but you just found the kli, so you announce that as well because the owner will be able to give a siman for it. Or if you have maos bekis, if you have a wallet with money inside of it. So obviously the money doesn't have a siman. As we'll learn later in today's shiur, money never has a siman on it. But the kis, the wallet itself, can have a siman. And then the money that's inside of it goes along with the wallet. Or if you just find the wallet itself, even without any money, o kis kimoshu, the kis is empty. Nevertheless, these are considered kalim that have a siman on them, and you have to announce it. Likewise, if you find tzibure peros, or tzibure mos, if you find a pile of fruit, or if you find a pile of coins, Rashi, the Mat Rashi, on Chav Dalet Amud Beis, says that the Gemara will explain this in more detail, what this siman is, either its dominion, the number of items there, or makom, the place where you found it. So these tzibure peros, or tzibure mos, can in fact be something that if you find, you have to go and announce it. Likewise, we turn to Chav Hei Amud Aleph, if you find three coins, shlosha matbeos, Ze al gab ze. Tomorrow we'll explain what the siman here is as well, Rashi points out. And we'll see there that it's talking about that you have three coins. One is a wider coin, then the middle sized coin, and then the smallest coin, one on top of the other. So they're arranged in a way that clearly was placed there by a person. So that in and of itself is the siman, and you have to announce this, and you'll give it back when the person describes this siman. Likewise, if you find krichos, these are these small little stalks or sheaves, birshus hayachid, in a private area, so then they have a siman on them, and there's no concern about lidares. So even if you hold that something that is a soy lidares is not a siman, like Rabbi had held the other day, but here it's in a rishus hayachid where not a lot of people travel, and therefore the siman will not be doris, and therefore you have to announce it. Likewise, if you have kikoros of balabais, as opposed to the kikoros of the public baker, so these kikoros are made by a balabais, and each one is made differently, and they're unique, and therefore they are in and of themselves a siman. So then, if you find these as well, you have to go and announce them, because mistama, the owner, will have this siman, and he's not misyaish. Likewise, if you find begize tzemer halukuchem mibeis ha'uman, if you find these pieces of wool that were taken from an uman, from a professional, from somebody who's making this into a sweater. So again, these pieces are different than the wool that's straight off sheared from the animal that has no siman on it, like we learned in the original Mishnah in the beginning of this perek. But these have a siman, and therefore they too have to be announced, so the person who lost them can give the siman and get his object back. And finally, we had this previously as well, we have kadeh yayin and kadeh shemen. These are various barrels of wine or jugs or containers of oil. So then, hari eluchai v'lachos, these also have a siman on it. We learned previously that the way that it's sealed is in and of itself a siman, and therefore all of these things in this Mishnah are things that have simonim on them in some way, shape, or form, and therefore chayim lahachriz, the person who finds it, can't just keep it. He has to announce it and hopefully return it to the right person and fulfill this wonderful mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Okay, Gemara starts off and says that if you found the basket or the kli with the fruit inside of it, or you found the purse, the wallet with the money inside of it, then you have to give back not only the item that has the siman on it, the kli, but also the fruits and or the money respectively in their respective utensil. So the reasoning is, tama, de matzah peros bichli, or umos bechis, that you found the peres inside the kli and the mos inside the wallet. And therefore, that's why you have to return it, because the kli has the simon, the original owner has the simon, so then he gets the peros and or the money that is inside of it. Implication being, ha kli ulufan of peros, or kis ulufan of mos. However, if you had the kli that was holding the peros, or could hold peros, and you don't have any peros inside of this kli, but you have fruit that are nearby it, and you have a wallet which has no money inside of it, but there's money nearby it, in this situation, well, you have to return the kli, because the kli still has a simon, and the original owner is claiming the kli, but the fruits and or the money, respectively, hare elu shelo, they belong to the person who found them, because these fruits, by definition, are mefuzar, there's no simon on them, and the money, by definition, doesn't have a simon when it's just scattered like this, and therefore, the finder of the fruits and money can keep it, albeit he has to return the respective kalim. Now, this is the din in our Mishnah, and it's Tanina Laha, the Tanur Rabbanan. This parallels our Mishnah, what was taught more specifically in the Braisa. The Braisa specifically states, Matzo Kli Ulufan of Peros. If you find a Kli, and in front of it, there are Peros. Now, we'll see in a moment what we're talking about. Or, Matzo Kis Ulufan of Mos. Well, you found this wallet, and in front of it is money. So, Miktsasam Bichli Umiktsasam Agabi Karka. If some of it is in the Kli, and some of it is on the ground, so some of the fruits are in the kli, in this basket, in this keli that had the fruits, and some of them are on the ground, or with the wallet, miktsas and mikis, some of the money is in the wallet. However, umiktsas and agabi karka, some of it is on the ground, so chayiv lahakos, then you do have to make the announcement, because, as we pointed out, this is exactly similar to the Mishnah, where clearly the kli has a simon on it. So you have to give back the kli. And if there are fruits in it, or even some of the fruits in it, so the mistumba, all the fruits came from there, and it clearly spilled out. If some of the money is in it, and certainly if all the money is in it, clearly the money was part of that wallet. And if you have to return the wallet, so you have to return the money that's in it, and even the money that's right next to it, because mistumba, they all came from the same wallet, from the same basket of fruits. Now, that's the Braisa that is supportive of our Mishnah. But now the Gemara brings down another Braisa that seems to contradict this Braisa as well as our Mishnah, Uriminu, but there's another Braisa that says, Matzah Dover She'ein Bo Simen. If you find something that doesn't have a Simen, but it's right next to Bitzad Dover She'esh Bo Simen. So, you, for example, Rashi says, you find the money near the wallet, or you find the fruits near the basket. Rashi points out specifically the money near the wallet. So in this situation, there is no money in the wallet, it's just next to the wallet. So our Mishnah and the first Braisa that we brought down say in that situation that you have to return the wallet, you have to return the basket, but you don't have to return the fruits or the money. But here, this Braisa says, even though there are no fruits in the basket, or no money in the wallet, it's just next to it, chayv lahachris, you have to go and return both the kli as well as the fruit, respectively, or the money, respectively. And indeed, if the person who is able to provide a simon to the basket or to the wallet, ba'al simon, v'not talesh shelo, and he takes that which is his, but he says that the money or the fruits aren't his, so then, zocha lo b'dover shein bo simon. So then, since the owner of this wallet or the owner of the basket says, listen, there was no money in my wallet, there was no fruits in my basket, but that is my basket, that is my wallet, so he gets, of course, his wallet back, he gave the simon, and then only in this situation does the person who found the money and found the fruits get to keep it. Zocha lo b'dover shein bo simon. Now, what do you see? This first part of the braisa that says he found the simon, and right next to it, the thing that didn't have a simon, then you do have to announce it. Kasha from this Braisa on the first Braisa that we had, as well as the Mishnah. So we're getting a four terutzim now. How you reconcile the two? Amar Zid, terutz number one. Rav Zid said, lo kasha. There's no steer between the two Braisas. Ha bechuva v'chisna, ha bitzana uperi. They're dealing with different types of items. Now, Rashi explains the kuba and kisna are gigis, for example, a barrel of some sort, with the type of flax, kisna, right nearby it. So you have gigis muteles upishton lefanel. You have the empty barrel or basket and the pishton next to it. Divadai hai pishton lav mikuba nofal. We can say with absolute certainty that the flax was not from inside this gigis, from inside this kuba. Why? Because the e minah nafal, if in fact this flax was once inside this kuba, Hava mishtayerba. Some of it would still be left inside. It's impossible for all of the flax to come out and none of it to be left inside. And the same thing would be with the wallet. If it were in the kiss, on the front of most, if you had the wallet and it was totally empty and there was money next to it. The same exact reasoning, the Hayitaima, because it's impossible that some of the money wouldn't have stayed inside it, Rav Zvid says.
Why
then by the Tzono Peri? That's a basket. And also fruit next to this basket, so that's a different story. Because in that situation, Davide de Sharki Benofli Mine Kulu. Because the basket will let the fruits roll out of it, and all of the fruits will leave it. So in the situation where we say that you have to go and return what's next to it, matzah davar she'ein bo simen, mitzah davar she'yesh bo simen, so then chayv lahakris. That's in a scenario where it's bitzina uperi, because you have over here this basket and the fruit rolled right out of it. However, in the case where we had the first brisa that says, no, you don't have to go and give anything that's outside, if there is nothing inside the basket or the wallet, that's because we're dealing with Bekuva of Akisna, where it's impossible that all of the flax would have gone out. So the two are talking about different scenarios. The second brisa that says, in fact, that you have to go and return when he gives the simon on the kli, also the stuff that's outside of it, that's when it's talking about Bitsina Uperi, where it could have easily rolled out and there'd be nothing left inside. So Mistama, the fruits came from inside that basket. But if you're dealing with Kuva or Kisna, so the flax could not have all rolled out. If it's all out, it obviously didn't come from there. Some of it would have remained behind, and therefore, that's the first brisa, which says if it's all outside, so then you only have to return the kli, but you don't have to return the item that is totally outside of it. That is teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rapapa. Rapapa Amar, Havaha Bitsino Peri. They're both talking about the basket and the fruits that's rolled out of it. So how come one brisa says you only get the basket and you don't get the fruits, and the other brisa says you get the basket and the fruits? But lo kasha, because ha the shtayer bo midi, ha the lo shtayer bo midi. The second brisa is talking about where some of the fruits were still in the basket. So you have some in the basket and some outside of it. Oh, the second brisa says, in that situation, if the person gives a simon on the basket, so he gets the fruits that are partially inside as well as the fruits that are outside. And the first brisa is talking about hod lo ishtayer b'midi. There's nothing left inside. If there's nothing left inside, so then we said, then there is no chiv to give it back. You only give back the peros if they're partially inside. But if there are no peros left inside, so then you don't have to give the peros back. So that's teretz number two from our papa. Teretz number three is v'bayisemu, or you could say, it doesn't tell us who said this, hod lo ishtayer b'midi. In fact, both the first brisa and the second brisa are both talking about when there's nothing left in the basket. Then how come one says you have to return the fruits and the other one says you don't have to return the fruits? Lo kasha. It's not a stira. Because ha de mahadre ape legabe peri, ha de lo mahadre ape legabe peri. Which way is the orientation of the opening of the basket to the fruit? If the opening of the basket is directly where the fruit are, so it's clear that the fruit rolled out of the opening to the basket. So then you have to return the basket, then you have to return the fruit. But let's say the orientation is the other way. In fact, the orientation where the fruit basket is facing is the opposite direction from the fruit are. The fruit are why? The bottom part of the basket, that there's no way the fruit could have come out from that end, and the orientation doesn't match up right. So then, in that situation, you don't have to return the fruit. Albeit, you have to return the basket with the simon, because it's very unlikely in that situation the fruit came from the basket. It all depends on the orientation. If the fruit are, like, so to say, flowing right from where the basket opening was, so then, even though there's no fruit in the basket, you have to return it. But if it's the other way around, the opening to the basket is 180 degrees away from where the fruit are, so then you don't have to go give back the fruit. You just have to return the basket. That's teretz number three. Finally, teretz number four, you buy yisema. Both of them could be talking about hobo, the mahadre, ape, legabe, peri. No, the orientation is right. If the fruits had fallen out of the basket, it's oriented correctly. So what does one brisa say? You have to give back the fruits, and one brisa says you don't have to. Flokash, it's not a steer as well. There's no difficulty here because ho di isla ogadin litsana. The first brisa is talking about where there is a rim around the opening to the basket, and mistama, some of the fruit would have been caught in this rim. It's almost like a guardrail, and some of the fruits would have stayed behind. From the fact that none of the fruits stayed behind, it must be that the fruits didn't come from the basket. Whereas the second brisa, hodelesli ogadin l'tzana, there is no rim or sort of a guardrail from the inside of this basket to have prevented all the fruits from rolling out. So all the fruits rolled out. And if the orientation is correct, the stomach of the fruits came from the basket. So these are the four terutzim to explain why one b'risa says you return the basket without the fruits, and the other b'risa says you return the basket with the fruits. Then we quote the Mishnah, a Mishnah that said, Tziburi peros and tziburi mos. We have this bundle or pile over here of peros and a bundle or a pile of mos. Now, we said in the Mishnah, you have to announce it. Shamas minah, minyan havi simen. So we want to suggest that the reason why you have to return it is because the minyan, the number of piles of either fruits or money, is in fact the simen. Where it says, no, don't read the word tziburei peros. Tziburei mos is plural. Tini, tzibur peros. It's just a single pile. So therefore, the number of items there cannot be the simen. Where it says, okay, then shamis minah, makom hem simen. So then the place where you found it, that's the simen. You say, either we had machlok Rashi Tosfos earlier, either you announce the place and he will say what was lost there, or you announce what was lost there and he will announce the place. So then it must be a raya that the simen is the place. Where it says, no. Tini, tzibure peros. It says piles, implying that it's the number of the piles that's actually the simen and not the location. So we don't have any clear raya which one it is. Is it the makom or is it the number, the minyan? Okay. Then the Mishnah said, shlosho matbeos ze al gav ze. If you have three coins aligned one on top of the other, which I already gave you the maskana, it meant the widest coin is at the bottom, then the middle-sized coin is in the middle, and then the smallest wide coin is on the top. So it's clearly lined up in a way that it was put there. We don't know that yet. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Shlosho matbeo zeh agav zeh. So Amar Rav Yitzchok migdolah. So Rav Yitzchok migdolah tells us this. The Maariv Tzchiya says, since you're making it into a migdol, and we don't find this Rav Yitzchok mentioned elsewhere, so this he's known as Rav Yitzchok migdolah because he taught us this din about making it into a migdol. And we find this by several of the Amoraim that are found very, very rarely in Shas. They're sometimes given the name as a nickname, so to say, of the din that they taught. So that's what the Maariv Tzchiya says over here for Rav Yitzchok Migdolah, because he says, "Hu shasuyin kimigdolin," because the coins are like a tower. They're stacked one on top of the other. And the Brisa supports this. Tanina Mihochi, the Brisa says, "Matzo mos mifuzaros," if you find money that is spread out. Hare elu shlo. Then, that's not a simon. Coins in and of themselves can't have a simon, as we'll still see. We mentioned many times, we'll see it in today's share still. So if you find coins just scattered about, spread about, so then you can keep them. That's not a simon. However, asuyin kim migdolin, if they're made like a tower, so then chay lachos, that is a simon. You have to announce, I found something, and the person who lost it will say, did you find my coins stacked up in a tower? The eluhein asuyin kim migdolin, and what is the definition of it's made like a tower? Shlosha matbiyin ze al gav ze. Three coins. Matbiya is a matbeya, which is a coin, one on top of the other. Now, this braisa on first glance seems to be mutually contradictory, because at the beginning it says, Hagu Fakasha is internally contradictory, because Amris, first it says, Matzomos mifuzaros hareel shalo. Then if you find them scattered, spread out all over the place, then you get to keep them. Implication being, ha mishlachfe shalhufe, if they're somewhat one on top of the other, as Rashi says, mixazu al chaverta, umixas agabi karka. So if a coin is half on the ground, half on another coin, and then the next coin is half on the ground and half on another coin, so then that would imply that that's not considered mifuzarin, that's not considered spread out, and chayav lahachwiz, you'd have to go and announce that. You'd have to go and try to do Ashavas Aveda. That is considered simon. But then, Emasefa, keep on reading the Brisa. The Brisa said, if it's made like a tower, asuyin kimigdolim, then chay lahachriz. The implication of that is, ha mishal chafei shalchufei, if there's just a little bit on top one of the other, so then, harel shol, then you get to keep it. So the Brisa seems to be mutually contradictory. The Reish and the Sefer have two different implications. What would be the din if one is partially on the other? The Reish would say, in that situation, it's not mufuzar, and you'd have to go and announce it. Whereas the Sefer would say, it's not a tower, so you'd be able to keep it. So where it says, Tana kol she'ein asuyin kimigdalim. What the Tana is telling us over here is that if it's not perfectly stacked, one on top of the other, mufuzaris karluhu, it is considered mufuzaris. So mufuzaris includes that they're totally spread out, or even if they're a little bit one on top of the other, but not stacked up perfectly. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina adds, and he says, Lo shanu elo shel shlosha milochim. He wants to tell us that this is true only if the coins are from three different kingdoms. In other words, it's three different size coins. Avo shel melech echad, if it's from the same kingdom, so three quarters are all the same. Take a quarter from the United States, and you take a similar coin from England, you take a similar coin from France, so then it's three different kingdoms, so to say, the coins will all be different. So that's when we can say that if they're stacked up, it is definitely a simon. Avol shemelech echad, if the coins are all from the same kingdom, so eino chayv lahachris, that's not considered a unique simon. Mistama, they even fell that way, and therefore you don't have to go and announce it. But this is very problematic. And the Gemara says, hey, chidam, I don't understand. If they're in a tower, so what difference does it make? Afilu shemelech echad, nami. If it's three quarters and they're perfectly stacked one on top of the other, so why would we say that that's not a simon? And if they're not stacked like towers, so what difference does it make if you have one coin from the United States, one coin from England, and one coin from France? That's not a simon as well. That's scattered. That's spread out. And it's not a simon. So what exactly did Rabbi Chanina tell us? So Gemara explains as follows. If Rabbi Chanina really said something, this is what he said. Lo shanu ela shel melech echad. We're dealing over here with the coins from one kingdom. We're dealing here with United States coins. So you have a penny, a nickel, and a dime. Three coins, as if it was in three different kingdoms. And the Marshal deletes the parentheses is over here. Avol shemelech echad enu chayv lahakris. So that's true, but we're going to see it later in the Gemara. This is out of place over here, so we just delete that for now. We'll have it in a moment. So what did Rabbi Chanina really tell us? He says that when you have the three coins, even if they're all, let's say, United States coins, but they're three different sizes, as if it was three different kingdoms. Vechidami, and why is it considered a good simon? Dasuyin kimigdalin. They're a tower that revicha, the widest coin, tato, is on the bottom. Umitsiya, the second widest coin, ilave, is on top of the widest coin. And vizuta, and the smallest width coin, ilave mitsiya, is on top of the middle coin. So they're stacked like the Eiffel Tower, one on top of the other. Because in that situation, we can guarantee that they were placed there, they didn't drop there, and therefore that's the simon. Avol shel melech echad, and this is the part which was in parentheses a moment ago. This is where it belongs. If it's from one king, so then you don't have to go and announce it because the kulu ki hadad deininu, they're all the same size. But they're talking about that it's all the same size. And even if they happen to have landed one on top of the other, that's not considered a simon because we say it just happened to fall three on top of each other. It just so happened that when they fell that way, the three coins that are all the same fell on top of the other. But if it's three different coins and they're stacked from the widest to the next wide to the least wide, so then that's a simon. But anything else is not considered a simon. That's what Rechanina is really telling us. That is the opinion of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no. If you have three quarters, one on top of the other, nami machmas, that is a simon because it's very, very unlikely that all three coins fall directly one on top of the other. So, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with what Rabbi Chanina said, that there have to be three different sized coins. Whether they're in the same kingdom or not is irrelevant. They have to be three different sized coins, where Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even three identical sized coins, they are considered to be a simon if they're stacked one on top of the other. Now, what do you announce in this situation? What's the hachraza that the person who finds it does? My machriz, so minyan. He announces the number of coins he found it, and then the owner will say how they were found, and if the owner of the coins can describe them as being in the stacked situation, so then they'll be returned. So Gemara says, then why my iriyat losa afilu trei nami? So then why do you need three? Then even if two, one on top of the other, stacked the wider one on the bottom, and the least wide of the two on the top, so then why do you need three? Even two should be good. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says no, because Tiva Machus, he says, I found coins, and therefore coins means two. So therefore, if it's only two, he's not really saying anything. Therefore, you have to say, I found coins, but it has to be at least three. And therefore, Tiva Machus, he says, I found coins without mentioning the number. So the person actually gives both the fact that they're stacked and how many there were. And in this way, with the combination of both of them, Ravina says, that is a valid simon. But that's why it must be at least three, because if he says, I found coins, so if it's two, so that's not saying anything. Because as we mentioned already previously, the famous principle, miut rabbi mishtayim, the minimum amount of plural is two. So therefore, if he says, I found coins, and you say there were two, one on top of the other, so you didn't really give a full simon. So if there's at least three, so then you say there are three coins and stacked in this way, that is a valid simon. Now, By Rav Yirmi asks, what happens? Again, we find this throughout Shas. Rav Yirmi is always the one that asks these types of questions. What happens if you found the coins in the following shape? Kisher mahu. If the coins are arranged in a circle, like a bracelet is arranged. Rashi says, mutolin bi'igul kietzodo. Like a bracelet, they're arranged in a circle. So you find several coins in a circle. What happens to kishura if they're in a straight line? Zu etzazu, one next to the other in a straight line. Is that considered a simon? What happens if kichatsuva, if they're like a chatsuva? Rashi shows you an example like a triangle. They're in a one in each of the three corners. So is that considered a valid simon? And finally, what happens if kisulam mahu? What would be the halacha if you found rov emtsoi? Rashi says ala tachton. So the majority of the middle one is on the bottom one. However, the rov elyon al emtsoi, and only part of the top one is on the middle one. So it's like a ladder. So in this situation, is that considered a valid simon if it's in a circle, in a straight line, in a triangle, or in a ladder-like structure? So the Gemara doesn't give an answer to all of them, but it says at least pishot mehoachod. At least we can answer one of these questions, the last one, the ladder-like structure. The Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravua, Rab Nachman said the name of Rabbi Ravua, Kol she'ilu machnis lo kisein beinehem v'not lom bevas achas. If you were able to insert some little piece of wood in between them and lift all three of them up, so then chay lachmas. That is a simon that they were arranged and put there on purpose, and not that they dropped in that fashion. And therefore, at least we can answer the last question. In Kisulam, the halacha would be that you have to be machris. Okay, we continue with the following shaila. Boy, Ravashi asked the following question. We turn to Chafei Amud Beis. What happens if you find the coins arranged ki avne beis kulis mahu? What would be if they were arranged like base kulis? Now, what is base kulis? So Rashi says, this is the Avodah Zarah mar kulis. Tosfos explains that we add the word mar. Kulis means praise, so we flip it around and say it's the opposite of praise, basically by calling it mar kulis. And this is the name of the Avodah Zarah. And if you find this Avodah Zarah was worshipped by throwing rocks or putting up rocks in a certain way, so if we find these coins arranged in this way, Ka'avdimeis Kulis, the Gemara is asking, Mahu, what is the halacha? So, we bring a right from the following brisa, Toshma. The Tanya, we learn in the brisa, Mo'atzumos, Mifuzoros, Re'elu Shalom. If you find them spread out all over the place, so the coins have no simon, they clearly fell, and they weren't put there, and by definition, coins don't have a simon, so therefore you can keep them if you found them. However, if you found the coins arranged ki adne base kulis, like the stones in this Avodah Zarah, mar kulis, this base kulis is stones, so then chayv lahakmas, that is considered a valid simon. And how is that arrangement? The eluhin avne base kulis, how did this Avodah Zarah arrange the stones there? So they're arranged in the following fashion. You had achas mikan, one to the left, the achas mikan, one to the right, and the third one, the achas agabem, was on top of them. So it was like a structure where two coins were next to each other, and the third coin was like a brick on top of them. So this lattice-like structure is considered definitely munach. It was definitely placed there. If you had coins that were in this type of a structure, clearly they didn't just fall that way. They were placed there, and you have to announce it. Finally, we have another brayse of Tana Rabbanan. Amotzei sela bashuk. If you find the coin in the marketplace, umitzor chaveiro, and a person who claims to have lost it, your friend comes, v'amalo, and he says to him, that's my coin, shalihu. And I'll show you a simon. Chadashi, it was a brand new coin. Or he says, Nironisi. This was a coin, Rashi says, from Neron Kesar. So it had Nero's face or writing on it. So that's how I know that it's my coin. Or he says, Shemelech Ploni. Or it has George Washington on it. It has Benjamin Franklin on it. This coin has such and such a king on it. So then, lo maklum, that is worthless. And furthermore, even if it had his own name on it, the lo'od, el afilu shemo kosev ala, even if you wrote your name on this coin, right? People sometimes take a dollar bill and they write their name on it, right? That doesn't mean the dollar bill is yours. You then spent it. And even though somebody finds it and says, oh, it says glad on that bill, maybe that belongs to glad. No, I had spent that. And therefore, lo amar klum, even if your name is on the coin, and certainly if all you did was identify it as being a new coin or from such and such a king, Neron Kesar, or a different king, lo omar klum. Why? Because as we said before, and here's what we have it written down inside, lefi she'ein simon limatbeya. By definition, coins do not have any simon on them because a coin is used lehotzah. It's always being spent. So even though you can give a simon on it, but who says that it's yours? You gave it to so-and-so, and now you know that he has that coin. And then you hear coins lost, and you say, oh yeah, this is my simon. It may be the simon of that coin, but it's not your coin. So therefore, by definition, lefi she'ein simon l'matbeya. And the Gemara says, the Omar, Dilma afuke avka umeinish achrin and offal. Because you know what? The person who's claiming the money could say, it's my coin. But in fact, it really wasn't your coin. It fell from another person. And you're either a shyster or clearly there's not only one coin that's new. There's not only one coin that comes from this king or from Nero Caesar. So just like you're saying, that's my coin. Somebody else could easily say, that's my coin. And therefore, the bottom line is, lefish ein simon lematbeya. Coins do not have a simon on them. Okay, now we do the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Motzah achar hagapa o achar hageder gozolos mikusharim. If you find behind this gapa or geder, different types of fences, which I'll explain in a minute, these pigeons that are tied up, gapa, Rashi says, is a certain type of fence that is made of eitz o shulkanim, or reeds. And a geder, Rashi says, is made out of stones. So if you find these tied up pigeons or birds behind such a fence, Tosus points out that this fence is somewhat mishtameris. Mokom shemishtameris mishtamaros kitsas. They're a little bit protected. Avol motzah b'mokom she'ein mishtamer klal v'adei avedi. But if it was absolutely out in the open, not at all protected, so then you'd be allowed to keep it. Because v'nisyashu abalim kiven she'ein bo simon, because there is no simon over here. We'll explain that the way that the birds are tied is the normal way that they're tied. There's not something unique about it, so there's no simon in the tying of it. And therefore, if it wasn't behind this protected wall, somewhat protected, you wouldn't be entitled to get it back. But since you place it behind this somewhat protected wall, whether it was a wooden or reed type of a fence or a stone type of a fence, or obishvilin shibasadas, or you put it specifically on certain types of roads in the fields, so then the person who finds it, hareze luyi gaben, he shouldn't go and take it. Because the person who placed it there is going to come back for it. And there is no simon on them, so if you take it and announce it, he's not going to be able to say that it was his. So therefore, leave it there. Hareze luyi gaben. Similarly, motzer kli biashpu, we had this previously as well. If you find a kli in a garbage dump, so if it's covered up in mechusa, so obviously the person hid it over there, don't touch it. Lo yigabo, because he's going to come back and get it. And just leave it for him to come back and get. In Megula, but if it's open, so then it has a simon on it, so you better go and take it because somebody else may find it and not go and announce it. So no tilamachris in that situation. Go and take it and announce it because it's open, it's out in the open, Megula, and therefore somebody else might find it who's not Erluch or who's not a Yid, and therefore this person will lose it. So therefore go and take it and announce it. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Gemara says, what is the reasoning if you found the tied up birds behind this either wooden reed or stone fence that you have to go and leave it there? Because my time, the Amrinon, Hani Inish Atzneinu, because the person hid it over there. It's a partially protected area. The Shakalu, and if you go and take it, Les Lu Lemarayu Simona Bigavayu, it doesn't have a simon on it. Therefore, if you go and take it, he's not going to be able to get it back. So Hilkoch Lishavkinu, therefore leave it over there. Adasi Marayu Vishakalu, and the owner will come and hopefully take it back, and this way it will get back to the right person. The Gemara says, why isn't the knot considered a good simon? Vamai, Levi Keshu Simona. Why isn't the birds are tied together? Let the way that they're tied together, the knot that they're tied together, be the simon, and you should take it. And then when the person who really owns it says, well, it was tied in such and such a way, then you can give it back to him. Let the knot be a simon. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zav, Amar Rav, Rabbi Abba Bar Zav, the same name of Rav, very similar territory to what we had in yesterday's year, B'mikusharim B'kanfeyen, B'kuliyam Mohochi M'katri Luhu. This was a standard way that they were tied together, by their wings. And there's nothing unique about it. It wouldn't be a simon. This is the way everybody tied their birds together, and therefore, this is shoven. It's all the same, like we said in yesterday's year, and that can't be a simon. So therefore, leave it where it is, because he will come back for it, and if you take it, then he'll be stuck. But the Gemara says, but let the place where it is be the simon. Okay, so the tying of the birds together, that's a generic way of doing it. But Levi Malkum Simon, let the place be a simon. So Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, Rav Ukva Bar Chama says, you know why the place can't be a simon? Because they're moving about. They can't fly, their wings are clipped, or their wings are tied together. However, B'midadin, they can go and hop from one place to the next. And therefore, the place where they are right now may not be the place where he left them. And therefore, that can't be a good simon. Malkum can't be a simon because they may not be in the same place. Where it says, well, if they hop about, imimudadim, so maybe they're not his birds. Maybe may alma asu umutarin. Maybe they're really different birds. His birds are lost. And these are other birds that came over there, and the person who found them should be able to keep them. Why should you have to leave them there? So Gemara says, because Igla may mara me almasu. You're 100% right. It's possible they came from someplace else and they hopped over there. However, Igla may mara in his shots to you. But it's also possible that the person hid it over there. And therefore, it's not clear. Are they his birds and he placed them there? Or are they not his birds and he didn't place them there? So it's a safek. So therefore, in this situation, the Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zav, the Amar Rav, kol safek hi nuach, if you're in effect safek, was it placed or not, leave it alone. L'chachil lo yito, don't get involved. Leave it over there. And if it really is that person, so hopefully come back for them. But if you took it, v'im natal, so then you're stuck. Lo yachzi, you can't give it back because nobody has a siman on it. But you can't keep it for yourself because it may not belong to you. It may belong to somebody else. So you then have to hold on to it until Elio comes and you can go and give it back to the right owner. Therefore, much best not to take it. Now, Mishnah then said, if you found this utensil in the ashpa, so if it was covered up, the person obviously hid it over there and don't touch it. And if it's uncovered, so then he lost it over there, and he's hopeful to get it back. It has a siman on it. So therefore, take it and announce that you found something in the ashpa. That's what our Mishnah said. But we have a brisa that it seems to contradict our Mishnah. Uriminu, the brisa says as follows. Matzu kli tomum biashpa. The brisa says if you found the kli that is hidden in the ashpa, you do take it. No tel umachris. So it says that you go and take it in that situation. But our Mishnah said you don't go and take it. So shekein derech ashpa lefanos. Because the brisa says because it's likely that this garbage dump is going to be emptied, and therefore the person who hid it there is going to lose his item when you empty it out. But we have a stira. Our Mishnah wasn't concerned about maybe it will be emptied, and the Braisa is concerned that it will be emptied. So Amar Rav Zvid gives us the first of two terutzim, and he says, Lo kasha, ha bikube v'chasi, ha b'sakine v'hamnik. These are different types of utensils, which the Gemara is now going to explain what they are. So in regards to the kube and kase, these are basically, Rashi says, larger types of utensils. Rashi says, Tumunin midas havoy. They're large utensils. He clearly didn't just drop them there. They were placed there. The lo yiga ben. And in that situation, the Mishnah said, don't touch them. Lo yiga. But the sakine, the hamnik, Rashi says, these are small utensils. Shem kelim kitanim. So it's like little forks and spoons. So adedahain, they were on your paper plates. And then when you threw out your paper plates, by accident, you threw out these forks and knives. B'sakini v'hemnik. And mashlichim shom im ha'ashba. They were thrown out with the rest of the garbage when you took it out of the house. Shotsi amin abayis. And therefore, no tulamachas. These clearly were by accident placed over there. So the Mishnah is talking about with their large utensils, and clearly they were placed there on purpose. And the Brice is talking about where they, by accident, had been thrown out, and therefore, you go and announce it. You take them and announce it. That's Rav Zvid's teretz. Rav Papa gives a different teretz. Teretz number two. Rav Papa Amar, ha v'ha b'kuve v'kasi. We're both dealing over here with these larger vessels, these larger utensils, barrels, and cups. Kuve and kasi. Lo kasha. So why does the Mishnah say that you leave it there, and the Braisa says go and take it and announce it? Because kam ba'ashpo huasuyo lefanos, and kam ba'ashpo she'en huasuyo lefanos. Because we're dealing with different scenarios. In the Braisa, where they're going to go and clear out this garbage dump, so even though the guy may have put it there, he's going to lose his item because they're clearing it out. And therefore, go and take it and announce it. Whereas in the Mishnah, we're dealing with a garbage dump that wasn't being cleared out. So therefore, the guy hid it over there, leave it over there, lo yiga. More questions as it says, ashpo asuyo lefanos. What? We're dealing over here in the Braisa with a garbage dump that is about to be emptied out. So then, why would the person have put it over there? Clearly, he didn't put it over there because it's about to be emptied out. So are they the midasi? He's essentially throwing it away, losing it intentionally. And therefore, why should we have to go and take it from there and announce it? The person who finds it, since this garbage dump's about to be emptied out, should be able to keep it. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo, we're dealing here by ashba she'ena asui lefanos, the nimlach ole lefanosa. The Bryce is talking about where the guy put it in a garbage area that wasn't expected to be cleared out. And now you come along and see they're about to empty out the garbage from this garbage area, and you see this kli there. So then, no tel umachris. And that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Now, this teretz the Rav Papa just gave us works out very well with the language of the Braisa. Bishlomo Rav Papa, hainu diktoni. That's why the Braisa said, shekein derech ashbo lefanos, because it's about to be cleared out. El Rav Zvid, according to the first teretz we gave. So Why would Rav Zvid say, Ma'ashekein derech ashpul lefanos? It has to do with the type of utensils that were there. The big utensils, you leave. The smaller utensils, you take it and out. So Gemara says, no, you misunderstood what it meant. Ma'ashekein derech ashpul lefanos. It means, shekein derech ashpul lefanos lo kelim kitanim. That this is the normal way for these kelim to be, by accident, thrown out. And that's what it meant. These small utensils, according to Rav Zvid, it's very common that they will get by accident thrown out, right? People sometimes throw away the silverware when they're clearing off the table. They have paper plates, but they have real silverware, so they might throw away the fork or the knife. So that's what happens naturally. That's what it means. Shekein derech ashpul lefanos. This is what sometimes happens with these type of utensils. So both Rav Papa and Rav Zvid gave us a good explanation why the Mishnah and the Braisa are different. Next Mishnah. Matzah begal, if you find some mitziah in a pile of stones. A gal is gal avonim mechoma shenofla. It's a pile of stones that came from a wall. So obviously, initially in this wall, this object was hidden, and now the wall fell down, and you have this pile of stones. Ubekosel yashar, or if you find this item, this mitziah that you're finding in a very old wall. In both of these situations, hare elu shelo, we can assume that the owner was in the siyayish, and you get to go and keep the item that you found. However, matzah b'kosel chadash, if it's in a brand new wall, so it depends where you find it. Mechetz over lachutz, if you find it from the midpoint to the outside, so somebody walking by on the road put it over there and then forgot about it. So he's not going to ever come back for it. He's not going to know where it is, and therefore that belongs to you. Shalom. However, mechetz of lafim, it's from the middle point to the inside of the house, so then the owner of the house, he mistama put it over there, and it belongs shel bal habayis, and you're not allowed to go take it. It belongs to the bal habayis. However, if this was a rented house and many different people lived over there, and now you find this, so then even if it's on the inner part, from the midpoint to the inside, then you have a right to keep it, because this tenant inside here keeps on switching, and then there's no reason to think that it's this tenant versus the previous tenant versus the two times before previous tenant, and therefore you get to keep it. That's our Mishnah. Mara starts off and says, Tana, we learned in a braisa, mipnei shiochel lo malo shel emorim hein. The reason why, if it's a kosel yashan, if it's an old house, or mislama, even if the stones have fallen down, it was from an old house, so then you can say, because it doesn't belong to the person who lives there now, it belongs to the Emori that lived there previously. Before the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, we had the Zayin Umamos. So the Emori lived over there, and therefore, that's who it belongs to. They are obviously not somebody that you have to go and return it to, and therefore you get to keep it. Where it says, who says it's the Emori? Otu Emori Matzni, Yisrael Matzni. Who says that the only Emori hid stuff over there? Granted, the Yidden came after the Emori, but maybe they put it there. Who says it's from the Emori and not from the Yidden? So the Gemara says, because practically speaking, lo tzricha, and we turn to Chavavah ben Aleph, you know what we're talking about over here? It is extremely rusty. The Shosich Tvei, as Rashi says, Halu Chaluda Rabba. It has so much rust on it that it had to come from a long time ago from the Amori, because the Kuli Hai, so much rust, Lo Shavit Lu, never could have come from the more recent dwellers in that place. So it must be from previous tenants, the Amori, and therefore that's why you're allowed to go and keep it. The Os Aleph over here, the Gros says the word shouldn't be Dishosich, it should be, he brings up from the Rambam, Dishosis. As Rabbeinu Chananel says, Klomar Mishonim Rabos, it came from many, many years ago, Hem Nesunim Bazeh HaMokom, it was placed over here. And therefore, that is why you have the opportunity to keep it, because there's no way it came from a recent owner, it came from the previous owners that were long gone, and you have no obligation to return it to them. With this, we conclude today's share.